You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
Hey, welcome to Makers Church. We're so glad that you are joining us online. And for those of you here in person, I just want to take a moment and introduce myself if we've never met. My name is Derek, and I serve here as the lead pastor. And if you're new with us, we're just so, so glad that you are here. What a gift to have you here in our presence, in the courtyard, or with us online. It's just so, so good to have some new faces around and some old faces around, even if it's covered in a mask. We're so glad that you're here. Hey, this morning is Vision Sunday, and it is going to be a new way of us communicating a vision for the future. We're going to do this through a panel with some of our leadership team, but as they're getting set, I just want to invite you guys into a few things. One, if you've been with us for the last few weeks, you know that church continues after the sermon. And we're sticking around for discussion groups. And if you're able to stay, whether you're in person or online, we would love for you to plan for that. It's about 30 minutes after the gathering where we huddle up in groups, socially distant in person and in Zoom rooms online. And we discuss and we talk and we wrestle with the things that have been brought up in the morning. And so we'd love for you to stick around for that. If you're online, it's going to happen over on Zoom, and they'll guide you there in the chat. If you're here in person, it will happen right at the end of the gathering. We'll kind of cluster around these tables, and we'll have a conversation. We'll get to know each other, and we'll kick some things around. Now, as we're talking today, some questions are going to come up. And this is going to be like a rapid-fire, you know, one-inch deep look at a vision for our future. And because there's four of us sharing, we're going to have to keep moving the conversation along. So we may just, a thought might get left hanging in the air before it's time to go to the next thing. If that brings a question up for you, we'd love for you to write it down. And the best way for you to write it down is in the text to our platform. And so the best way for you to engage with us on this is to text the word makers to 97000. It brings up that menu. Don't worry about the menu. Once you text makers, you can just start writing your questions into the thread, and we will get those questions. Those are twofold, two reasons. One, it helps you formulate the questions you're asking about the stuff we're saying, or even the stuff that's going on in your own heart, what God's doing in your life, that you can then bring to a discussion group. And then it also lets us get a glimpse on the questions you're asking so that we can best communicate church-wide what's going on. And if there's many questions that are coming up that are similar, we're going to answer those in some form or fashion. So that's kind of the lay of the land. The kind of theme for the morning came up from a conversation that I had with Stephanie last week. And, you know, 2020 was a really, really tough year. But we know that it didn't define us. But we let it refine us as a church. And so Stephanie said, she prompted me with this question. What are the things that you used to think, but now you know? And so that's kind of our format for this morning. Without further ado, let's hear from the rest of the panel. Introduce yourselves.
Well, I'm that Stephanie. So my name is Stephanie. I've been around for quite a long time. I'm on the board at Makers. I am the Nana to four wonderful grandchildren. I am married. I spent a number of years in the public school system. I often would tell people I was a full-time Christian missionary. I was a public school teacher, a principal, district person. But more than all of that, I just am a listener, and I just like to be a friend. That's my deal.
Stephanie's the best.
It's hard it's to like, follow I'm not Stephanie. A listener. I'm just a talker.
Listening. My name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here. They'll probably say more. We've kind of been a part of this church since the very beginning. And so worn a lot of hats in this community over the past 11, 12 years. So currently oversee a lot of our creative arts, worship, production, tech, a couple other random things. Originally I'm from Northern California. Been down here for 13, 14 years now. Been married to my beautiful, amazing wife, Lauren, for over 8 years. As anyone who's met her, she's by far the better half. That's not a joke. She's for sure the better half. Yeah, like sports, like to cook. I'm terrible at sports, but I like to watch. I'm a Niners fan, if anyone cares. I'm a Sacramento Kings fan. That's where I'm from. And if you're a Kings fan, they're heartbreaking to be fans of them. But this has been probably the most pivotal part of my adult life. I work in the tech world, so we're all co-vocational, bivocational. So I've been in the tech space for the past 13 years. I've worn almost every hat you can wear in that space too. But I love this church dearly, and I wouldn't be who I am without it and without these people here. And it's been a fun year.
Same. My name is Shalise. I also lived in Sacramento for a year, and then I escaped and came back to San Diego, where I was born and raised. Love being down here. Like Stephanie, I am a high school English teacher, but not for long. I recently accepted a position as an assistant principal.
What?
Very exciting. So I just want to be like Stephanie when I grew up. I was like, Stephanie, what did you do? I'm going to do that.
Give out detentions?
Exactly. Can't wait. So, yes, I also have been married to Lauren for 8 years. It's been wonderful. I actually met Mark the first day I ever came to what is now Makers Church. A guy at a coffee shop said, hey, you should come sing worship at my church tomorrow. And I was like, what? I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, I'll do that. And then we met, and we've been friends ever since, and met Derek shortly thereafter. And, just was originally a worship leader, doing a lot of things. But in my free time, I like to cook as well. Too many sports teams have broken my heart, so I just can't even go there anymore. But apparently I'm a USC fan now and a Raiders fan because I got married. I don't know what that's about. They don't tell you that when you get married. So.
The Chargers left, so now he's a Raiders fan.
I know,
fan,
that's the worst. But yeah, excited to be here.
Awesome. And one of the reasons why we're communicating our vision with the panel is this is just a thin slice, a representation of our leadership team at Makers Church. It's a highly collaborative space. And what we've did over the last year is we just realized that COVID was going to present us definitely with some challenges, but also with some opportunities that we never had before as a church. In our kind of world that we work in as church people, we also, as Mark said, we all work in other spaces. I work in the fire department, and I also have a beautiful family sitting there in the back, 3 kids. But in the church space, we always talk a lot about, you know, there's a big difference between working on your ministry and working in it. And we're always in it. Church Sunday keeps coming. Ministry keeps happening. There's always a high need. So we're in it. Don't have a lot of time to work on it. And so this year as a leadership team, we decided last year, hey, we need to pull back. We have permission now. Sunday had to keep coming, and it came in new ways. And they were really challenging ways, tech-wise and all that. Mark was awesome leading us through that. But we said, hey, let's work on it. And what we did is we pulled back, and we brought together a bunch of different voices to two main tables. They were Zoom tables. But we called one the re-team, where we were going to reimagine and re-engineer our future as a church. And then we had a racial healing roundtable that we brought together in light of all of the racial unrest that was caused by the racial injustice in our country. And we brought leaders together that would give insight and perspective that we don't have as white people. And so that was a really formative time. Those two conversations really revealed so much. And they brought a lot of stuff to the surface. And when I answered the question kind of over the whole morning, what we used to think and now we know is that the commitment to our mission as a church is the most essential thing. So we used to think that. We know it now. That the mission is always more important than the method. And so what we did as a team was we refined our mission as a church. And we said, we're going to be more committed than ever to the mission. So the mission says it like this. It says, we as Makers Church, we exist to make on earth as it is in heaven by developing and commissioning followers of Jesus to love God and love others. And that's our mission as a church. And we refined it. And we're so committed to it that everything we talk about the rest of this morning will stem from that.
So, to make on earth as it is in heaven is a very, very lofty idea and concept. So, what is it that you know and what is it that you believe that ensures that that can happen? What does that look like?
That is a great question. And the reason why we wrote a phrase like this into our mission statement is because it's deeply driven by our understanding of who God is, the way God works, and the way he asks us to be. And so this make on earth as it is in heaven, it's this coupling together of the spiritual and the physical. And I think one of the ways the church has had some missteps, especially in the American church in the last, 5,200 years, is it predominantly only cared about the spiritual. Let's get people saved. Let's get souls to heaven. And let's just be focused on that. And what it missed was this idea that God cared so much about this world that he lowered himself into flesh, into embodied, incarnate person, and walked this world. He loved it so much. Not only that, but when he died, he resurrected into a body. He resurrected into the flesh. And then he stated while he was here that this kingdom of heaven is already, but not yet. That Jesus inaugurated the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. He already started it here and now. And then when you look into the scriptures at the end, it says the end of this age will be a coming together of heaven and earth, of the spiritual and of the physical. And that understanding really shapes the way that we long to be as a church, that we would be participants, yes, in helping people find Jesus and come alive in Christ, but not so that we can have a disembodied, heavenly experience out there sometime then, but that here and now we can begin living into the kingdom of heaven, that we can begin living into this already but not yet reality and participate with Jesus in ushering in heaven on earth. That's kind of a big theological thing. And I haven't told Mark this yet, but we will link in our YouTube of this message back to many a sermons and series that we've given on this idea. We just did a whole series on Kingdom Come, Kingdom Matters, and all that. But let me get real practical. What does that mean for us as a church? One of those things that we think that embodies a kingdom reality is this idea of diversity. And so that we as a church are committed to diversity in all forms, that we as a church need to do everything we can in our power to be non-homogeneous, non-monolithic. We need to be around people who are not like us. And we need to create spaces where that is inviting for folks who aren't like us. And that has a lot of implications. It means race, it means socioeconomic, it means theological, it means political, it means diversity in all forms brings us into a place where we can humbly learn from each other and be unified around something bigger than all of those things, which is Jesus. And that's our goal. And so as a church, what we know that looks like for us and the right next step for us, and we want to get practical, is that we as a church, our envisioned future is that we will be a church that is diverse in all those forms, that we will become more racially diverse, that we will become more socioeconomically diverse, that we, because we know when we move into relationship with people who are not like us, that it moves us to being a response to bringing hope and healing in every one of those arenas, right? And so what that means is when we are around people who are not like us, we get compassion and empathy. We get a perspective shift that we don't get when we're not around people who aren't like us. So practically what it means for us as a church is we want to be specifically about bringing racial healing in our country. That's a right next step for us. And we need to do that by starting to reflect that in our church. And so what we know now is we know we have a commitment to this, but our next step is to create a plan. What is our plan? And so one thing that we used to think we knew, but now we know, is that representation really matters in leadership. And so part of our plan that we know we're putting into place is that we as a team, as a leadership team, we need a perspective shift in our decision-making body, in the power that's making decisions as a church. And so we need a perspective shift, which means we need people of color that are helping sit with us at the leadership table to make decisions for our church, that see things, that have insight, that have past experiences that are different than ours as three white people. And so that's something that we're committed to. And that is just a very thin slice of a tangible example of what we know what it means to make on earth as it is in heaven, that we'd have an envisioned future as a church where we become more diverse. And one strategic step towards that is to change the way our leadership team looks. And beyond that, We think it would change the way our church looks, and beyond that, we think it might change the way our country looks. Yeah. So that's our commitment there. Very ethereal to very practical. There's a look of that.
I mean, when we merged with North Park Baptist, you know, was that 2 years ago? Oh my gosh, it feels like yesterday. We immediately overnight became more diverse, which has been such a huge blessing. But, you know, I know, Stephanie, you were a part of North Park Baptist long before we ever came. And
not that long. She's a young buck over here.
It's not how I meant it, but you know what I'm saying? But, you know, you've been a part of these conversations for a long time, and I love hearing your stories about how being, not even just at church, but in your own life, how diversity has been such a blessing to you. So I would love to just hear your thoughts on, like, how has that choice to be amongst a diverse group of people, and even now choosing to stay at Makers and continue that, impacted your life?
I think that word choice is really important because we all can make that choice. We can all make a choice to do whatever it is we feel is the important thing to do. By the time I graduated from high school, I'd gone to 13 different schools. So I only knew the rapidity of relationships and depth of relationships and all that kind of thing. So that's a whole story that would take longer than 2 minutes. For me, it's all about... Psalm 139 is like one of my most favorite psalms because it talks about God knowing us. And so for me, it's all about to be the kingdom. And if God made us in his image and we all look different, then somehow we need to see God in all that difference. And it's real simple. In my mind, it's just real simple. It's like, I don't have all the answers because without you, I don't even halfway know the question, you know, let alone the answer. And so how do I know how to move forward if the only record I have is my own or my own thinking or people that think like me? How can I reflect, how can we reflect who God is and what he's about if it's just about me being in the center? And so that's just always been real important. I have a diverse looking family in every single way. You know, my friends are all over the map. And sometimes it's those people that are the most different from us who can speak the most truth into our life because we're not trying to front and we're not trying to pretend. And they can see things that we try to mask, but because of their experience, they're able to say, you know what, that just even ate it. And so it's important. If we're about truth, then we've got to be about each other. And again, I'm just going to go back to that. And it's a choice. It's a choice that cost. When I look back over, it's time's up.
No, keep going.
No, I'll be sermonizing. I'll be sermonizing. I want to be a respecter of the time.
Stephanie, that is so insightful. Just, it's a choice. And it's a choice that we're making as a church. And it's a choice that we're inviting you to make individually. And I'm just so proud of the choice our church has already made in leaning in to the uncomfortable spaces. So, Stephanie, thanks for leading us there and for being an example of that for us.
And as we continue, so we're making on heaven as in earth. And it continues, the mission statement continues by saying, by developing and commissioning followers of Jesus. So mission, no, this is for Mark. Mark gets this one. What does Makers know and believe about developing and commissioning followers of Jesus that is new or different from it's been before?
Another great question. So as you already laid out, the first part of our mission statement is really the envisioned goal, to make on earth as is in heaven. We believe that's what God calls us as individuals in the church to. So the next part of that phrase, well, how do we do it? What's that high-level strategy? It's by developing and commissioning disciples to love God and love others. So we've always thought that helping make disciples was important and having some sort of structure to that. Now we know that's essential. And really what that derives from, it's what the church has called for thousands of years, this thing called the Great Commission, which at the very, very end of Jesus' time on earth, the end of the gospel of Matthew 28, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, into all nations, to all people, through the power of the Spirit, to make disciples. And then he says this, what we often forget, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And he says, I'll be with you always. So developing and commissioning, skipping to the second one, commissioning. It's a weird word we don't often hear outside of the church, to be commissioned. But we love it because co means with. So it's with mission. It means to be sent. And we believe that everybody, the moment you say yes to Jesus, you become this Holy Spirit-empowered new being, new heaven, new earth, and you are empowered to be a minister. We say it all the time in the book of Peter. It says that we are a priesthood. We're all a holy royal priesthood. And so everybody, from the baby believer to the seasoned whatever, like, you have supernatural power and you have your story to communicate love and hope and the truth of God's forgiveness and new life. So you're sent. The tricky thing is, and there's a lot of power with that, is we often forget that sometimes power without character can be very destructive. And I think we've even seen that in our world in recent events. And I think sometimes I've been taught, oh, power corrupts, power. I don't think power corrupts. I think power reveals. Power reveals the content of your character. And so if we're going to help send people and unleash people as a church, we also want to be involved, not in a controlling way, but in a loving, healthy, humble way to help each other grow and develop. And that's where the developing comes from. We want to be able to help each other develop. I think about my in-laws. They just got a new puppy, and they got a COVID, a pandemic puppy. And he's a rescue, so they don't know what he is. He's like part lab, part shepherd, like half demon, because he like... He's so cute, but he's always like biting and destroying furniture, and the guy has so much energy. And like, you know, the language in business and churches a long time ago used to be unleash. We want to unleash people. And we just want to take Dublin to the beach and unleash him. But we know he's going to go like murder seagulls or just destroy someone's picnic. And we're like, you know what? There will come a time when he's ready to be unleashed, but he needs to be developed first. Right? You parents know this. You would never throw like a four-year-old, here's the keys to the car, like go to the grocery store. Like, it's a terrible idea. There's an awesome power in being able to drive, but we're not ready for it yet sometimes. And our culture, we don't want to hear that. We want to have immediate freedom. We want to have immediate power. We want to have immediate authority. We want to have immediate individualistic agency in our own lives. Yeah. What's harder, what's more costly, is to come to a community where we say, hey, I want to be around people who have different stories, different experiences, understanding that that reflects the heart of God, and humbly saying, what can I offer this community and what can I learn? Where are the ways I need to grow? And that's been such a growing thing for me in the last few years is man, God's been revealing to me so many ways, blind spots I never knew that I need growth. And without a community, without a church that allows me to be raw, to be an imperfect person in progress, and then together to be working towards Jesus. Without that, I wouldn't be growing. And I think that's what the world needs. We need a place where God can develop us from the inside out, and that influences the way we behave, the way we think, the way we operate, and it will influence the commission that we have to be peacemakers, to be reconcilers, to be ambassadors for God. And then when that happens, when we are made new, we become part of the new heaven, new earth. What we create in this world as makers becomes that kingdom. It becomes God's commission to make on earth as in heaven. So a few practical things we're going to be testing out and trying. One small thing is these little discussion groups after church that you're all invited to. It's a really simple way to make sure that nobody gets missed. Everyone's invited to have a conversation, to be seen, to be heard, to talk about the sermons, to unpack it. Because when you talk about something and you don't just listen, it activates a different part of your soul and your mind. We're going to be doing things called the covenant. We'll have more info on that. It's not quite done yet, but it's going to be this process where we're going to journey with people in groups on one-on-one to help walk through what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus and how to grow together. And then at the end of that, we'll be commissioned to go serve and to love God and each other. So that's kind of the summation of we really want to be absolutely committed to building out not just an idea, but a plan around commissioning and developing. That's not controlling. It's ultimately about freedom. I want to read this little scripture, then I'm going to pass it off because I love this scripture here where it says this in Galatians. It says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment, which we'll talk about. Love your neighbor as yourself. The goal is freedom, but then paradoxically, the freedom is meant to serve others. So,
that's great, Mark. Stephanie, you said at the beginning in your intro that you've been like a professional ministry here in town, or a professional minister missionary is the word you used. What does it mean to you to be sent? What does that mean? What does that mean for us to be sent?
To be sent, I think for me, I'm very simple. I'm very simple. To me, being sent is that understanding that you have inside of yourself is that when you go out your front door, you have meaning. That's to be sent. You have your quiet time, you have your input, you have whatever it is that makes you you. But once you go out your front door, you are sent. And I don't know what else to say about that.
That's it.
Because you have to just embody that. You have to realize that that's the expectation. You know, when we're called to go and share. It doesn't say be called and take a whole lot of time doing a whole lot of stuff and getting a lot of degrees and da da da, and then you go do the work. Now, all of that, learning all the stuff and getting the degrees, whatever that is, happens in the process of you walking out your front door. And so I think that's, you know, sometimes we don't do things because we're not ready. Let go of that. Because if we're all sitting around waiting to be ready, hello. I don't know about y'all, but I just have to go. And the learning happens in the going. And I think that as we're thinking about the developing and the commissioning, that those of us who will be in those roles of leadership have to remember that I'm not developing a mini Stephanie. My job is to help you become what God has called you to be, and it's going to be different looking than what he's called me to be. So again, it's that listening. You can't develop and commission until you listen.
And
because you'd have to start somewhere.
Yeah. And I love just a quick, you learn by doing, yeah. And it's like walking. You learn to walk by walking, and you're going to fall, you're going to fail. So this commissioning, developing, we're going to stumble. We are all the church. And so when we bring ourselves, we're bringing the church. And it's not going to be a perfect church. Mm. But that is the beauty of this whole gospel story.
So and I that's also part of, sorry, but that's also part of the freedom aspect. Mm-hmm. You know, free to be who I am in my call. You may not like it. You may say, I don't know about that. But it's not to get hung up on that thing, it's to ask me the question, so how is that helping you be all that you're meant to be? Yeah. You know, it's getting thoughtful about how we ask and how we hold and how we shepherd and how we guide.
Yeah. Amen.
That's so good. I love the phrasing. It says God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And in my simple way, Stephanie, inspired by what you just said, is like you're qualified when you go. That's the qualification process.
Story of our church,
right?
Is
he doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called, and you become qualified when you go. And that's what we're trying to do.
And then we help each other grow along
exactly,
the way.
Exactly, exactly.
So at another time, you can ask me about my India experience, but that's a whole other thing.
All right. Sit at her table. Discussion groups.
So we are making on earth as it is in heaven. We are commissioning followers of Jesus. And what we're doing is helping us all to love God and each other. So, Mishlis, okay? We know that we've been changed in the way we seek to meet the needs of the community this past year. With all that's changed, what have you learned, and what is something you know must continue or change in order for us to love God and love each other well as we go forward?
I think a lot has changed
over the past year. We used to think hugs were important. Now we know they're essential. They're not optional at our church moving forward. I will hug every single one of you every Sunday. So, you know, we've had to adapt a lot. And I keep coming back to the verse in 1 John 3 where it says, you know, let us not love in words and in speech, but in action and in truth. And I think when the pandemic hit, that verse was really tested because so much of the way we view the way that we love is in the action and in the things that we're doing. And all of a sudden we felt like so many of those things were taken from us. And so, you know, as a church, we had to get really clear on what does that mean for us to love God? What does that mean for us to love others? And how does that maybe look a little different than what we had envisioned? You know, like you had said, Stephanie, it's not about what I wanted to do, but like, what is God calling us to? And there are some things, you know, that we've done and we've known and we thought were important. But now we're seeing even more in this next season how God wants to just take us maybe into not even a different space, but just a clearer space. You know, like a laser. Like, it's great. It's very destructive if you're not focused, right? And so we want to be really focused on how do we do that? You know, we have so many options for ways to love our neighbors. And at the beginning of the pandemic, we had talked about being here for good. And that was kind of our vision. Like, we want to be here for good. And so we had this building campaign and we thought, oh, it's going to be in renovating this building in North Park. And then all of a sudden the building was nothing and we weren't even meeting anymore. And so we, you know, we moved those funds over to benevolence. And now this idea of benevolence has completely expanded our capacity to love our neighbors. And we had almost like $40,000 that we as a community gave specifically to meeting the needs of people in our community, people connected to our community, and a lot of people that we didn't even know. And so we've tried to be responsive. You know, we had a care team that is led by Chelsea Knox and her amazing team that has always sought to meet the needs of those in our community. But now we have this new thing called benevolence that even takes it a step further. And asking that question, I think, for us of, God, what is that next thing? And what I've become really certain of, and I think we as a leadership team have become really clear on, we know that we can't do everything. You know, we've tried in the past to unleash people, like, yes, just go do whatever you want. But we know that we can't do everything. And so how do we get really, really clear about what we think that God is calling us to specifically as a church? What does that impact look like? What does that ministry look like? And so I think about gardening all the time. I love that Jesus uses like a lot of gardening metaphors and fruit and trees because it makes sense. Maybe I'm just hungry all the time, so I'm always thinking about food. But, you know, there's this thing called companion planting, and it's where certain fruits and vegetables, you can only grow them in certain seasons, but they grow even better when they're together. You know, like celery is going to grow much better when it's near onions, and you're not going to grow really well when you've got peas next to tomatoes. And so
Rookie mistake.
I know, right? Gosh, duh. But there's
everybody
all these things,
that.
Like you can Google it and know all of that information and still kill your plants. You know, like I know all the right things to do, but that doesn't mean that we can do it. And so as a church, I think we've wanted to just ask that hard question, like not just what do we think is right and what do we know is right? What can we talk about doing, but what can we really be about doing? And what are those things that in this season we need to say yes to? And what are those things that in this season we need to say no to? And I think the more clear we've gotten on those things, the more that we've seen God move in those moments and in those decisions. And so just a really practical one is figuring out what are we doing with our building? And what are we doing in this space that we've been blessed with in North Park? And can we actually leverage it not just for our own use, but for our community? Can we leverage it for business owners and people who want to make an impact, whether it's for the kingdom or not? And can we invite people into a space where we could see God do things that we never thought were even possible, more than we ever imagined? Because we know that we're going to double our impact, that we're going to triple our impact if we can do things in the right time, in the right way. And so we want to continue to use our benevolence funds to continue to meet the needs of those in our community, but we also want to continue to ask those hard questions of what are the things that we need to say no to so that we can say yes to the right things. I don't have all the answers. There's a lot of things. But that is, you know, the conversation that we're trying to have now is what are those things for this season so that we can have the biggest impact and the most growth.
That's beautiful. I love that. I have the honor to ask you a question. I think we need a podcast with you where I just weekly yes. just answer yes. the story time was I want to hear about India.
We used to think, but now we know.
Yeah. We need a Stephanie podcast.
We need more Stephanie.
That's like a good cliffhanger for like the next episode. I just gotta know what happened in India. I mean, you made it back, you're here. So my question for you is over this past year, what have you learned about yourself? Small little question. And then if you got time or you want to answer, what has that taught you about God's love? But what have you learned about yourself and how, and if at all, does that connect to you, how you understand God's love? Or whatever you want to talk about. I don't really care.
That's a really big question.
You told me to surprise you. So
yeah,
this is on you.
Yeah. So what I've learned about myself is... I'm worth it. I'm worth it. I am worth it. I am worth the love of God. I am worth the love of my family. And I am worth the love of you all. I'm worth it. And there's lots of story behind that. So you'd have to talk to me. You'd have to talk to me. And what I've learned about God is he is faithful. And even when, I don't mean this to be disrespectful, but even when I don't like him, he doesn't care and he can handle that. When I think he's got it all wrong, he can handle me feeling that way. And that's really, 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 really important. So God is very big and God has very big arms. And kind of where I am at this point is kind of in that hole on a personal level. Where am I now in the journey? Because I have a big capacity to love, a big capacity to be there for you. And so what I'm having to learn in this season is what does you look like now for me? Because regardless of what I think I am and all about, I am not 27. And I don't have the cartilage I used to have. And
don't either,
so, you know, it's like, what is the next step? So in some ways, I'm terrified of that because you're scared of the unknown. But on the other hand, I can tell God that, and then it will be okay. And there's that something in my heart and in myself and where I've been that confirms that will be okay.
Incredible.
Thank you. I don't think we're supposed to cry on Vision Sunday. I feel like it's supposed to be so good.
Thank you, Stephanie. That was
Thank
amazing.
Thank you, Stephanie. Well, I'm gonna start wrapping us up. And like I said, this was going to be a kind of a one-inch deep, thin slice of a lot of the learning that God's been teaching us in the last year. And if you really cared, we can show you document upon document of learning and decision-making on that front. But I kind of want to close with this piece of a vision that I think has been true since the merge, which is it's still part of our vision. And when you take the words of Jesus seriously, when it comes to the Great Commandment, to the Great Commission, it promises a massive expansion. It promises that things will grow. And to use Shalisa's, you know, gardening metaphor, there will be fruit, and the fields will be ever expansive. And what God has called us to do is to go out and be on mission and help call people to himself. And when we do that, things grow. And that's always challenging for folks when you get to something the right size that you like. And so there's a big question around, well, what will happen with this church? You know, and even as we answer questions around building, and we don't have time to get into it today, but what God has done, Glenn is always saying this, Pastor Glenn, time is the ally of the Holy Spirit. Time is also the ally of real estate. And what God has done with our property in the last year and a half, 2 years, since we started thinking about how to re-leverage this building for everything Shalise talked about, the possibilities have become ever expansive. And there's just some really neat possibilities of what we can do here. And so we're trying to steward that well. But a big question comes into, what if our church grows? And not what if, but it will. But the question is how? You know, how will our church grow? And we're getting clarity around that. And we know that we don't want to be an additional growth church, meaning our church just gets bigger and we keep building a bigger building for us to all meet and huddle together in. But to be more creative beyond how do we leverage digital and how do we leverage churches or smaller groups of people on mission together that may not be so dependent on this thing. And that's maybe not so clear to you. We have some ideas on what that would look like and how our church can multiply instead of grow additionally. And so what we want you to know is that our church will never be a place, even at the size that it is right now, where you will know everybody. But it is a church where everybody can be known. And that's a commitment that we know we must curate. That our church is not a church where everybody can know everybody, but it is a church where everybody can be known. And we're putting strategies and practices in play so that we can be that kind of place where everybody can know and be known, and in that, grow in our capacity and our ability to love God and to love others, to make on earth as it is in heaven. And our developing and commissioning process will be doing just that. And so we're committed to that. We're being as innovative as we can be. And we know that it's one step at a time. We get really excited about all the potential and all of the things out there that we could and must do. But we know that that there's a one step at a time way towards that. And one thing that you must know about us is we don't say, that's a great thing, let's design it and develop it and curate it and then go. We just go. And so even like when Shalise says, how do we steward our building well? We almost every room in our building's filled right now with business owners, entrepreneurs,
therapists,
all sorts of crazy. Our building is being used right now more than it's ever been used in a time where buildings should be shut down. It's all legal and the way we're using it and all that. But our rooms are filled with people doing good work in the community. And so that's already like, we know we need to do that in the future. So why would we wait? Let's start now. And so we just start. We build the airplane while it's in the air. And sometimes that's terrifying. But that's just a bit of our DNA. So I hope that you got a glimpse. And there will be more, you will see it. We don't, like Lisa said, we don't want to talk about it, we want to be about it. You'll see, hopefully you've already seen some shifts and some changes. And that's just kind of a broad brushstroke picture of the church that we want to become in the next year. And so thank you so much for being with us. We're inviting you after this next song to stick around and discuss some of this stuff together. This is integral. We really don't think it's optional, but we can't keep you imprisoned here. So if you got to go, if you've got kids, and I get that. But for us, we're saying this is integral to what it means for us to be the church. So I'm going to pray, and they're going to get off the stage.
Just before you pray, sorry.
Yes.
I just have got to give a shout out to these children.
Oh.
I mean, like,
you didn't even know there were children over here.
Like, you don't even know there are children here.
Making a masterpiece of art.
And I don't know. I mean, wow. Wow.
Yes. And to the parents.
Just wow.
To the parents.
Yeah, obviously.
Who are willing to bring
wow.
their kids.
They've developed their children.
Wow.
Well.
Just unleash
them. And just so you know, I do want to be on the record for saying we are working diligently on taking advantage of the new restrictions being loosened to get kids ministry up and going in the very, very near future. So please just stay tuned. And thank you for your patience in that. Let me pray. God, we thank you, Lord, so much for all that you've done in this major disruption of 2020. God, that you've used it as a time to refine and to forge, God, the very things that you've put in front of us. God, we thank you that you've invited us to participate with you in your plan to redeem the world. What a gift it is. And Lord, my prayer this morning, God, is that every single person listening in would begin to believe that they're on the team. That they would begin to believe that you have called them for such a time as this to be on mission, to be a minister, to be sent, to be a missionary in this world for your kingdom. And so, God, whatever that means in each person's own heart, God, I pray that you'd stir them up. God, that you would stir them up and activate them to be on mission. God, that they would trust us as their church community to help them to understand and discern and to process what that might mean and what the next step might be for them. But God, that we would go together, that we would be a movement of your love and of your compassion, of your mercy in this city and beyond. And God, that in that so doing, God, that you would be transforming us. God, we need to be transformed. We need to be sanctified. We need to be made more like you. And Jesus, we know and we believe that that happens along the way. And so, Jesus, we just pray that you would lead us into the future. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
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 You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.